Hello and welcome to Palace Intrigue. I am your host, Mark Francis. Well, Jonathan Shaylett is a showbiz agent and has a theory on why Harry keeps adding new jobs. He told The Telegraph that he believes Harry is trying to keep up with Meghan. So for Harry to keep up with his wife, he's got to find his own name and identity, and this is the start. He doesn't need celebrity. When you're royal, you're the biggest celebrity in the world. But what this does is allow Harry to have relevance. Royal biographer Andrew Morton was on Lorraine Kelly's television program. Lorraine said, "One of the very interesting things you cover in the book is that Margaret had mental health issues and that she wanted help before suggesting she didn't get that help." Per the Mirror, Andrew explained of the generational silence when it comes to the topic. "It's make do and mend. People don't talk about mental illness, but having said that, Princess Margaret did go for psychological counselling. Even the Queen herself, during her Annus Horribilis, had something in to help her with breathing and relaxing. So, in a funny kind of way, the royal family have had a history of going for help from professional bodies for psychological issues they have faced." Lorraine said it was difficult to imagine them not helping Meghan as a result of this confession, calling it very strange. She said, "I have no idea. That's extraordinary. I never thought of the Queen doing that, which makes it seem all the more crazy or difficult to imagine they wouldn't have helped Meghan. When Meghan made that cry for help and she said nobody listened to her, it was one of the saddest things about that interview, wasn't it?" Andrew responded, "That was a very sad admission, but it left far more questions than answers, especially as Harry is a patron of a mental health organization and his godmother, Julia Samuel, is a well-known psychotherapist. She's on speed dial. It left me baffled, that assertion. She'd have been very disappointed in the rift between the two boys. Hopefully the spirit of Diana can help with some sort of reconciliation when they unveil her statue at Kensington Palace Gardens this summer. She was, by the end, an independent humanitarian ambassador for the Red Cross. She wasn't involved in the royal family. She would have totally understood Harry's decision to walk away from the family firm." According to People, during a recent Zoom call set up by the volunteer organization LA Works and the I Have a Dream Foundation, Markle and Prince Harry appeared on screen to a teenager as mentors. LA Works executive director Deborah Brucci said that the young woman on the call was really moved by the couple's compassion, humility, and wisdom. "It was really significant for her because they saw her potential in a few short minutes, which actually really undid some damage that had been previously caused by a former teacher's doubt. It was just amazing how they were able to connect and how the compassion, in just a short conversation, really made an impact and is going to forever inspire her. The conversation that they had was really about how do you overcome challenges in your life and how do you stay true to your values, things that are so relatable to young girls but also so public in what the Duke and Duchess have gone through." Palace Intrigue will be right back. A recent Channel 4 documentary posted the notion that the Queen is constantly frustrated with Prince Charles and will never live up to her sense of duty. Royal biographer Clive Irving said that none of the royal family have measured up to the monarch's dedication to the job. To this day, she's more openly affectionate to Andrew and more forgiving toward Andrew than she is towards Charles. On the program, Ingrid Seward described Charles as the polar opposite of Andrew, who she described as noisy, bumptious, very charming, when he wants to be. He can be arrogant and rude. He has some characteristics of his own father. Kate Middleton is getting into publishing. Hold Still, A Portrait of Our Nation in 2020 will bring together the final 100 Hold Still portraits, as well as the stories that go along with the moving images. In the book's foreword, Kate writes, "When we look back at the COVID-19 pandemic in decades to come, we will think of the challenges we all faced. The loved ones we lost, the extended isolation from our families and friends, and the strain placed on our key workers. But we will also remember the positives, the incredible acts of kindness, the helpers and heroes who emerged from all walks of life, and how together we adapted to a new normal. Through Hold Still, I wanted to use the power of photography to create a lasting record of what we were all experiencing, to capture individual stories and document significant moments for families and communities as we lived through the pandemic. I hope that the final 100 images showcase the experiences and emotions born during this extraordinary moment in history, pay tribute to the awe-inspiring efforts of all who have worked to protect those around them, and provide a space for us to pause and reflect upon this unparalleled period." As with everything Kate does, the response so far is wonderful. Dr. Nicholas Cullinan is the director of the National Portrait Gallery and said, "The public response to Hold Still, which was spearheaded by our patron, Her Royal Highness, the Duchess of Cambridge, has been phenomenal. The photographs submitted have helped to create a unifying and cathartic portrait of life in lockdown. We are honoured to have been able to share a selection of these photographs with the nation, first through the online and community exhibition, and now through this new publication." Someone else who finds Kate just wonderful is Reese Witherspoon. In Reese's autobiography, Whiskey in a Teacup, Reese wrote, "I felt relatively immune from the obsession with the royals until a few years ago when I was invited to meet Kate Middleton. She had just married Prince William and she was coming to Los Angeles for a fundraiser. I don't even know how I got so lucky as to receive the invitation. The scream that issued from my lips upon receiving it, you would have thought I was going to die. I was up at 4 a.m. doing my hair. That's early, even for me. I was up, dressed, and waiting by the door by 7 a.m. Jim took pictures of me in the car. You could see the rays of happiness shooting out of my face. I love Kate Middleton that much. And she did not disappoint. She was just lovely and warm, elegant, and composed. She also told a joke, and I immediately fell under her spell. She's just as magnificent as she seems to be. She's a very compassionate, socially conscious, deeply caring person. It takes a very special person to decide to commit to that kind of life, to choose to be under public scrutiny every moment. Now that she's in that position, her entire life is service forever. And I am so in awe of that kind of dedication." And there you have it. Please follow us on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'm Mark Francis. My thanks to John McDermott. This is Palace Intrigue and good times.